Dear friends, I want to bring to you some words from the passage before us in Matthew 24, where our Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Dear friends, God gives us in the scriptures many promises. And there are things that Christians put their hope and trust in. That's the foundation, the promises of God in Jesus Christ. That's the basis that we live our lives day by day, whatever happens to us. The promises of the Lord are our great basis for faith. There are promises and predictions of all kinds, including promises about the end times and things that will come about and things that will be fulfilled before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples of Jesus Christ, they were interested to know about what will happen before Jesus Christ returns. And you see this in the question that they ask in verse 3. They ask this, "Tell us," they ask the Lord, "when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" That's the context. And there are two questions here. They're wanting to know about the destruction of Jerusalem and then when that will be. And so they ask, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Well, Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70. And then the second question is this: "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" This second question has to do with the second coming or the final coming of Jesus Christ and what it will bring in the end of the world or the end of the age, as it literally says. Well, dear friends, when you read through this chapter, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he answers these questions. And as you read them, as you think upon these words carefully, you will see that he gives details and he gives promises about certain things. There are things that will happen and has to happen and has to do with the destruction, yes, of course, of Jerusalem, which happened about 40 years after Christ's death and resurrection. But you'll understand that most of what you read in this a very solemn passage shows the events that mark the entire course of the age that leads up to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he finishes it in verses 29 to 31 and describes this glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. We read this: "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken," and so on. And then it finishes by saying, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, in verses 6 through to 8, which is our text, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks. He speaks of the signs that belong to the end and of his coming. He mentions about wars and rumors of wars. There'll be actual wars. And well, many will be talking about certain wars that might be happening. There will be rumors of it. This could happen. They rumor about them. They report them. That's the wording there. They're reporting it with each other. They're talking about it. There'll be nations and people groups and kingdoms who fight against each other. And here we are brought to think about conflicts, about national unrest, homes and countries being destroyed and people losing their lives. There are tragedies of wars. And right now, if you only listen to the news, you hear it. Of wars, but also rumors of wars. But the interesting thing is this. If you only listen to the news, you only get one side. You'll get an edited version of things. So be very careful. In past months, Ukraine has been on the news front. And that has been brought to our attention again and again. And the horrible things that has been happening there. And the cruelties. And all of these things can be very complicated and terrifying and heartbreaking. And you sometimes think, well, I don't fully grasp the complicated events. But my friends, there are many other places in this world in the past few years that have been in war and civil war. And you don't hear anything about them. Why is that? You ask yourself. Just you Google it for yourself. You search the internet and you will see this. That currently there are terrorist activities taking place in Algeria, in Burkina Faso, in Cameroon, in Chad, in Colombia, in Congo, in Iraq, in Libya, in Mali, in Mozambique, in Niger, and Nigeria, and Tanzania, and Tunisia. Right now, there are civil wars taking place in Myanmar. Many thousands of people are being affected by these things. I'm just reading a book about Cambodia and the horrific things that were taking place in the 1970s. But the West, in the majority, was ignorant of it. The news media did not report them for whatever reason. But people are seeing more and more of the dreadful nature of war. And there is no doubt that we are witnessing the fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy that we are reading from in these verses. And there is nothing to say that these things won't develop into an international war. But I want you to think about this from the scriptures. I want you to think about wars in a biblical way. We should not be so simply thinking about things by what we are fed from the media. But biblically, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said will happen. And dear friends, those of you who are younger, you boys and girls, you are going to see things that will break your heart. And you parents, you have to think about this. How are we preparing these children for the future, the battle that rages for their soul now, and the things that they will see? How are they going to compute it? How are they going to take it on board and live for the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of warfare, in the midst of having to ration things, in the midst of having to run away from places to places? What Jesus Christ said, it destroys this whole idea that man has power to change things. All these discussions that take place in governments and people coming together, nations coming together, planning things and saying we are going to do this and sign certain treaties and so on. Is this going to change things? Is this going to be the end of wars? First World War was fought, and they said it was the end of all wars, but it wasn't. What the Lord Jesus says is always infallible and is true. It comes to us with authority, and he has complete knowledge of every war. He has complete knowledge of every conflict between sinful men and nations that will happen before his coming again. And so I want to apply these things. I want to for you to think about wars biblically this morning. Because we are all going to face things. Some of you have faced things, maybe in your childhood. And things have happened, and people say, well, this is going to be the last one, or this is going to, the way we ought to think about this, it should be this. It's Putin's fault, and it is this person's fault, and that person's fault. But people are involved. But let us think about it biblically. There are three things that I want us to think about. First, Christ, prophecies of wars. Secondly, Christ comforts the believers who experience wars. And thirdly, Christ is the end of all wars. So those are the three things I want us to think about. First of all, Christ prophesies of wars. Again, look at verse 6. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly says this in verse 6, that ye shall hear of wars. This is a great prediction. The whole history of the world is dotted with wars after wars in different parts of the world. There's always a war taking place somewhere in the world. It goes against the false idea that man is becoming better, that we are evolving. No, we are not evolving. We are devolving. We're not getting better. We're just becoming more sophisticated to employ our badness. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that these things will increase and will mark the last age of the world history. But where do wars come from? And why do nations go at war with one another? There are people, if you talk to them, they say, oh, it's to do with religion. Religion is causing these things. Well, is that the case in Ukraine? Is that the case? Was that the case in Cambodia? No, they were communist atheists. And you think about it, that's a false thing. It's a red herring that people use. No, more have been killed by the hand of non-religious men than by the hands of religious men. So you boys and girls, if you're taught these things, don't believe it. It's not true. But where do they come from? Why do people do bad things to each other? Only the Bible gives us a clear answer. No politician or war historian or sociologist will give you a clear answer. Only the scripture, the Bible, gives a clear and right answer. And the first is this: wars begin in the human heart. It's our heart. The wars start in human hearts. And you think about this. When the Lord Jesus Christ says that his people will hear of wars and rumors and reports of these wars and battles, when they hear news and reports coming from all over the world and from different countries and different people groups, and when they hear the evil that man does to man, he says again and again that the reason is because it all starts in the heart of man. So we read these words in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and verses 21 through to verse 23. Mark 7, 21. It says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. It's from my heart that evil thoughts come. Adulteries, fornications, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Furthermore, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 1, from whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Here is a question that is asked, and the answer is in it. It asked about the origins of wars and fightings or brawlings. And the clear answer is that it comes, come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Think about it, dear friends. Think about what we have been reading. And you have to understand these terms. James tells us about lusts. Tells us about lusts. This means the desires or the longings that are evil or sinful. They're about corrupt desires and corrupt passions, like greed and jealousy. And so what you find oftentimes is people wanting things. And so they want to take it by force, or they want to manipulate others to give them the stuff that they want. You have done it, children, boys and girls, you all have done it. And your parents have done it too, when they were younger. But manipulating people how to get the stuff they wanted. And making people feel guilty. So that's one word. And then it says about the members. That word members, that is about the inward, the fleshly, the carnal feelings. And parts of your soul when your lusts are working in. And then there's that word for wars. Think about that. That's the conflict between these evil desires that rage within man's being. And they register in our consciences as being wrong and evil. And when people are asked about these thoughts and feelings, and they would say, yes, it's not good. It's evil. But then, when these lusts win the inward battle, and then people give in to these things, they show themselves in outward wars and arguments. So you have those feelings. They're simmering away in the background, and then you begin to lash out. And you say things, and you do things, which is painful and hurtful. So it all starts in the heart and soul of people, in your heart, in my heart. And this is why, my friends, we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good news to a raging heart. It is a good news to a heart that is at war. The scripture speaks about the love of money and gain, the desire to have all control over other people. Desire to revenge, desire to hate, they all come from our hearts. And they have led to all wars in the world and wars between people. And dear friends, if you are unconverted, let me say to you, this is why you're at war with others. Or you're careless about God. You see, maybe you're in the center of Satan's kingdom, and so you don't have anything to do with God. You don't really care about the Lord. You're at peace with the devil. So you're not at war with him. You just give in to your own desires and the things that you do, the things that you listen to, the things that comes into your mind, and you just go along with it. And you say, well, I'm not a Christian. And so I just carry on with that kind of lifestyle. I'll change when I become a Christian. So you're waiting for this zap to happen to you, and then you'll all change. And so you don't do anything. You're just happy with how things are. You're at peace with sin and the world and the devil. And so all along, what you do, you neglect the things of God. But actually, you're at war with his truth. When the truth of it comes, you're uncomfortable. You wriggle. You are not happy. You would call your family or your parents or the minister as being too strict. And he doesn't want people to enjoy themselves. And so you are not happy with the law of God, the commands of God. Anything that restricts you from doing the things that you want to do. And you think, well, the gospel is not a good thing. It will not make me happy. And what you're doing to yourself is that you're destroying yourself in the midst of it. And if you carry on in this way, you'll finally damn yourself in hell. So the wars start in the human heart. But secondly, wars continue throughout all ages. You have to have a right understanding of wars. It continues throughout all ages. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about you will have the poor with you always. So all this socialism, all this welfare system, it's not going to end people being poor. The Lord Jesus Christ said you will always have the poor with you. But also with wars. If you were to look again at verse 6 of Matthew 24, you see that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of wars in plural. Not simply war, but wars. He's not talking about just one war, but more and more wars continue. He says, these things must come to pass. These are the beginning of sorrows. He's saying that these things that I'm speaking to you about wars, they will continue throughout history. He's not saying that there had been no wars before this, but he's saying that these things will continue to increase. And the historians would tell us that in the past 3,000 years or so of human history, the world has experienced only 268 years of peace. That's all. Many, many millions of lives have been destroyed and people killed in warfare. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that the reason these things continue is because humanity becomes more corrupt. We don't get better. We become more corrupt. And this is what the scripture says. Furthermore, in the later verses, in verses 38 and or 37 through to 38, it says this, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the Lord Jesus Christ is comparing between the days when before his second coming and the days of Noah. And if you were to read Genesis chapter 6, you'll see the connection that there was corruption, there was violence, there was atheism, there was disbelief in the true God. There's moral corruption. There was violence and sins of all sorts throughout the entire world. So the Lord Jesus is saying that similarly, before his second coming, violence and wars and corruptions will increase throughout the world. Just a couple of years ago, we were seeing, before the COVID, we were seeing all the looting that was taking place in United Kingdom and in United States with the so-called Black Lives Matter. And why was that? It shows the heart of man, the heart of man that is so wicked. And the stuff that you see with social justice and environmental protests that take place. Why is that? You ask yourself. Why do people do these things? These kinds of things will continue, dear friends. The solution to it is what the Word of God gives us, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are at war in their hearts, against one another, against the world, against God. So the Lord Jesus prophesies of wars, and we are told that they come from people's hearts and they will continue throughout all ages. So think biblically about this. When people say, why do these things happen? Say, the Lord Jesus Christ said so. They will happen. And so it's a fulfillment of the Word of God. And what you see is man's heart being displayed, as the Bible tells us. So the Bible is true. We are not getting better. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. Christ comforts the believers who experience wars. Christians are not going to be in a bubble of their own and not experience wars either. Again, look at verse 6. Now you see the Lord Jesus Christ comforting those whom he is addressing. He says, "See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." The Lord is comforting them when he's addressing them about these things. He comforts those who believe in him, those who trust in him. And he says, yes, you may be in these wars. Yes, you will lose much, even your own life, by the hands of wicked men. Yes, you may hear of rumors and reports of wars and atrocities, but see that ye be not troubled. Don't let this trouble you. Then he adds this, and he says, for all these things must come to pass. They have to happen. They must come. They have to be fulfilled. They're predicted and they will come to pass. And then he adds furthermore, and but the end is not yet. So they have to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is comforting. He's consoling those of you who believe in him and know him. And dear friends, while God is not the author of sin, and he's not the author of wars, yet God is not man. God is not the British or the American governments. God is not Putin or Zelensky. He is in control of all that comes, including wars. Just think about the first of this comforting statement. The Lord Jesus says, see that ye be not troubled. It's a natural thing to be troubled. And if you just read the headlines, they want to constantly keep you at this state of fear, to be troubled all the time. And that's what the world is like. But Christians ought not to be like that. Our trust is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So be encouraged, dear friends. Don't let your heart be troubled. But we have to expect these things. It is a natural thing to be troubled. And by implication, it means frightened. It's a word that has to do with an outcry, to be alarmed. And so you shout out, what am I going to do? And the Lord Jesus Christ knows that the threat and the reality of war is deeply disturbing to our minds. I don't know if you have ever been in a war. I remember in the Iran and Iraq war, I was there in the basement. All the lights had to be put out, and there was the sirens going so that we switch off all the lights. And I was only a 3-4-year-old boy and in the city of Tehran, and we could see the bombers going, the Iraqi bombers going above us. And my parents were both worried. And they would rush us downstairs. And I don't want to be presumptuous, but maybe some of you remember the Second World War. And maybe you have had those kinds of experiences. Please forgive me if I've tread on some toes. But it fills people's hearts with fear. You're facing now reality when wars take place. But the Christian, where are you in your heart? You're settled in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus will provide. He will keep me. And if it is his will for me to be taken, I'll be taken to be with him, which is far better. But what I'm going to do is to seek to be faithful to him, even in the midst of the war. I'm going to still rejoice. I'm still going to worship him. I'm still going to love his people. I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to witness for him. I'm not going to live as if God is not in control. But for many people who say they believe in God, the way they live in difficulties is as if God doesn't exist. Everything is in their hands. But that's the world, dear friends. But as Christians, we say, no. It wasn't in the hand of Boris Johnson. He's not there. People come, people go. These people are brought up and then they are brought down. Like the pharaohs of this world. NATO would say things, UN would say things. We are not trusting in the arm of the flesh. We are not trusting in horses and in chariots. We are trusting in the Lord. Is that you? Maybe you're not a Christian. But you're trusting this and that, and or you're just going along with things. The Lord is saying, don't do that. It's only the Christian who has comfort. Yes, the world will not submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are not in control of the situation. So don't put your trust in the kings and in princes and in chariots and horses. But your place, your whole trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, the Bible says. Don't believe the lie that God has stepped back from his creation and left everything in commands and into the hands of men. Don't believe people who say God doesn't guide anymore and people are left unchecked. Don't believe their lie that the destiny of the world is in the hand of men. That is why I would say the whole environmental propaganda that we are bombarded with all the time these days, and we are taxed over it. It's the whole thing is promoted in this idea that we are in control. We must save the Mother Earth. My friends, God is the one who will bring this world to an end. That's what the Lord has said. So what I'm trying to do is to help you to think biblically. The Lord is the one who will bring all things. All of this countryside. All of these fields, all of these things that people labor. This morning I was reading about the church in Cambodia, and as Christians were looking, and they saw all of these buildings and cars and all of these things that these people had labored for all their life. And war came in 1975, and overnight all of it was burnt up. And these Christians were saying, we thank God that God is in control. All of these things that we possessed has been taken. Even our Bibles were taken from us. But we have been using the time to store the Word of God in our hearts. And now we can recite them. We can still praise God and sing the hymns to his glorious name. And so when one group was taken up and they were put in prison, they were singing, they were praising. And those other people, the unbelievers around them, they were becoming Christians. So they said to them, we are going to section you off and put you into solitary confinement. And they said, that's fine, we are still going to praise the Lord from the top of our lungs. And so they did that. Still people were being converted through the singing of God's praises. Because these hymns, especially these old hymns, they have so much of the gospel in them. Is that going to be you and me, dear friends? Is that going to be our children? Having the Word of God in our hearts and seeking to encourage one another in times of difficulty? Instead of talking about these things, to say, but the Lord is in control. The Lord will take care of us. Let us be found faithful. Dear friends, the fact that God is sovereign and that he's in control over all things, it doesn't mean that people, and especially the Lord's people, don't face challenges in challenging times. Yeah, they do that.
They do face things. We Christians do lose their lives. But when that happens, let not that surprise you. Don't let that make you think that it shouldn't happen to you. It's sometimes that something that the Lord Jesus Christ said, that at times these things will happen, even if you're a Christian. Even in this passage, you read in verses 9 and 10, it speaks of persecutions, it speaks of arrest and afflictions. It speaks about people will murder you and they will hate you. In verse 20, it says that you have to flee. It says, pray ye that your flight be not in winter. In verse 29 and 30, it speaks of, again, fleeing from place to place, becoming a refugee. There'll be great tribulations at the end. These things will happen through the ages, and God will be gathering his people and saving sinners in the process of it. In verse 11, it says there will also be many false prophets that will arise. There'll be false teachers, false people claiming to know the truth, claiming to have the answers, and they will indoctrinate people. They will deceive many people. There'll be false religions and false ideas. That's where we need the Word of God, examining everything by the Word of God. In verse 12, it speaks of iniquity and sin will be seen everywhere. It will abound. It will be overflowing. And there'll be backsliding and compromise. There'll be apostasy in the professing church. But be comforted by the fact that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will not be hindered. Because the Lord is in control. All of the people for whom Jesus Christ died, they will be saved. They will be brought to see him and trust in him. The gospel will continue to be preached to the end of time, to the very end. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So again, I said, I think on Wednesday night, I said, the Lord is not sitting there wringing his hand, worried. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the church in Watersham? What's going to happen to the church in United Kingdom? What's going to happen to my people? He's in control, dear friends. This is really the basis of our peace and rest. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our sins are dealt with, and that they were paid for by the death and the suffering of the Savior, and that our Savior lives. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? All these different people, they're gods, they die. Be it Charles Darwin, be it Stephen Hawking, be it Voltaire, or anyone else that has lived and has promoted falsehoods, and they've had many followings. We're discussing this morning Voltaire. I'm sure you've heard this before, but he said he was living in France, and he said, in 10 years time Christianity will not be heard of in the world. And what happened? In 10 years time he died, and his house became the French Bible Society's publishing house. That's what happened. So dear friends, the Lord is in control. He will see to it that his name will continue to be declared. There are going to be always witnesses in this world for the gospel. And he is the underlying comfort for us, and the underlying comfort for this prophecy of the Lord. And the Lord is saying that nothing, and no wars and no persecutions will stop the good news of salvation reaching the hearts of sinners. The church will not stop being built. It will not cease to have a visible presence in the world despite all opposition. So my dear friends, if you are not converted, then God by his grace is sending you the gospel. And he's saying to you, my son died for sinners on the cross, for sinners who are at war with me, who are at enmity against me. This is my love for sinners. And the Savior says to us, come.
But dear friends, when we think about wars, you think the time is limited. Your time is limited. And let me finish with this.
Third thing is that Christ is the end of all wars. Christ is the end of all wars. At the end of verse 6, it says, but the end is not yet. Clearly, the Lord Jesus is speaking of the end. And so at this stage, he reveals that there is an end. There's going to be an end. The world will not carry on forever and ever. The world had a beginning, and the world will have an end. And remember, this had been the subject matter in one of the disciples' original questions in verse 3. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So the end in view in this prediction is the termination of this world, termination of this age in which we are presently found. And note that the Lord's coming and the end are brought together. And again, we see in verse 12, we see, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then it says, the world, and then shall the end come. So, the gospel will go forth right up to the end. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached until the end. In verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. It's going to be heralded. It will be declared. And that emphasizes the whole issue of the preaching of the word of God. And it goes against the modern notion that we don't need preaching. We just need a little 5-minute talk. I have to say maybe something here. I hope, again, I don't offend anyone. But a lot of times in churches, we are now hearing the speaker is, or the talk is going to be on. My friends, we are not having a little chat this morning. We are not just having a little dialogue together. No, the word of God is to be preached. The gospel of the kingdom is to be preached. It must be heralded with authority. So the gospel will go forth right up to the end. And then the Lord will arrive. This is the consummation in Christ's prediction. And so dear friends, you boys and girls, you think about it. When will these things happen? And should you be those who would be witnessing after we are gone? What are you doing with your lives now? Where are you with Christ now? Don't just sit there and think, well, I just wait till something happens. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. And so, dear friends, wars are coming. Yes. But the end is coming too. Christ is coming too. And when he comes, all wars will cease. When the Prince of Peace comes, he brings then his kingdom. In verse 27, it says the end will be swift. In verses 36 and 37, it says it will be surprising. It will surprise many people. In verses 38 onwards, it speaks about that it will separate. When Christ comes, he will separate individuals. And thus, sinners must be getting ready. Ready to meet thy God, the scripture says. Obey these words of the Savior. He said, be ye also ready. Praise God. It's not going to be by the hands of men that wars will cease.
that death will cease, that disease will cease, but that Christ coming, all wars will end. But his coming into sinners' lives ends wars with God, even today. He can bring that war that you have between you and God and between you and others around you. It will come to an end when Jesus Christ comes to you. Comes to you and changes your heart and mind, dear friends. Then it is that you will have peace with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you begin to have war against sin, against the world, against the flesh, against the devil. But then you have Jesus Christ as the captain of your salvation. You will have Jesus Christ as your king. So, dear friends, I hope you and I will think biblically about wars. That you will not lose heart. That you'll not be distracted from the main things that the Lord has called us to be. And if you're not a Christian, I hope you realize that if wars to cease, it means that Jesus Christ must be received. Well, may the Lord then bless every one of us.